years of Roethlisberger's career.
It's okay. You're admitting it's hard. Fine. Well, then a great coach
should find a way to do it.
Should find a way to do it one time. Exactly.
I mean, that segment that we just played there, that little clip, the whole thing was engineered in a lab to piss me off. from Greenberg's smug, like...
Oh, you cannot stand him.
Whiny little delivery to just the blind fawning. I'm actually starting to think now that Greenberg, I almost feel like I've come all the way around and respect him, that I think he just does this because he knows it makes people mad, and he tries to sell it like it's sincere, but it's actually not, and he's just being the smarmy fan of Mike because he knows it's going to actually set off an entire city full of people. If he actually feels this way, just Nimrod behavior.
Nimrod?
Yes.
Ooh, that's a strong
word.
I'm
just thinking of all the words that aren't swear words that I could say. Now, we had a boss back in the day who would say, don't say he's a Nimrod. Say he's making Nimrod-like comments.
that boss also, I think, tried to fancy himself a Mike Greenberg friend or associate.
Probably. So if he's listening right now, sorry.
And he might be. We love Jim.
Yeah,
anyways.
We do. But I find that level of analysis so lazy and so utterly, like, in the toilet for Mike Tomlin, that is, that I just, when I hear it, I imagine this is how you feel sometimes when you see the pundit class on the national level fawning, you know, with praise for Mike and fetching their fainting couches because they can't believe what a born winner he is and how much he loves ball and loves to coach ball. I'm starting to understand the level of anger that you probably feel.
Yeah.
His failures just, man, if you want to have a conversation about him that's 360 degrees, I can get there. I think actually he gets undersold by people in this town for what he did accomplish early in his career. People have gone so far the other direction on him, they want to essentially say he had 0.0 to do with them winning a Super Bowl.
I actually agree with you on
that. And getting back to another one. Like, I do think that he's maligned unfairly and not given enough credit. But my God, I can understand the tendency to boomerang away from that and go in that direction when no one outside of Pittsburgh who has a national voice seems to want to blame anything that has befallen the franchise on him. You'd think he was like the most noble version of Sisyphus. He pushes that franchise up the hill every year, and even though the ball eventually rolls back down on him, can you believe he gets him to the playoffs? He's part of the problem.
Yeah.
Probably the biggest part at this point, because he's never been forced to change. Why is there this belief that a 41, almost 42-year-old quarterback is going to magically get better and find the fountain of youth with a head coach who has put the restrictor plate on every quarterback he has coached since Ben? He even didn't do it at first to Wilson because Wilson had a bit of a resume. And then what happened after Russ's inarguable best game last year? Cooked the Bengals. Like, went off script a little bit, did some things Steelers quarterbacks haven't done in a long time. They basically tried to put shackles on him again.
I think that when Greeny said there, you know, of these guys that I named, you tell me on this list who is better than Aaron Rodgers. I'm not going to say this guy's better, but my feeling going into this season is that I'm not convinced personally that Rodgers is going to be better than what we got from Russell Wilson last year. I could see the season going oddly similar for both guys in that Russell Wilson's first few games, we were all saying the same thing. This is the guy the Steelers have been missing. He looks like a franchise guy. He looks like a legit quarterback. He's way better than any quarterback we've had post-Ben, way better than Trubisky, way better than Kenny, way better than Mason, way better than all these guys. And the bottom fell out. And the schedule makers put the Steelers in the same exact bind this year. They don't have three games in 11 days, but they set up the schedule the same way. The second half of the season is the hardest of any team in the NFL. So it's possible that Aaron Rodgers against the Browns and against the Seahawks and some of these teams.
And even against the Jets, maybe.
Yeah, looks good in the first half of the season. Can his body hold up as the oldest kicker punter in the NFL? Can his body hold up, and can he get the job done late in the year against much stiffer competition?
If the belief here is that the Bengals, because ultimately they've managed to handle all these contract situations, are not going to be as slipshod as they were to start last year and are going to be a better team and still have fully healthy Joe Burrow the whole time, if that's your assumption, you start the line of demarcation for me. I don't know where it is for you on this schedule point is this. You play the Colts on November 2nd, Pony. That is week 9. That is your 8th game of the year. You go on the road. Now, I know the Chargers are not a hard road team in terms of atmosphere because there will be more Steelers fans. But that is a team whose ethos is we want to beat you up because that's how Jim Harbaugh likes to coach. Then you come back home to play the Bengals, who, if they are flying high, can put up 40 on you. I don't care how good your defense is supposed to be. If you don't get to Joe Burrow, he will make you hurt. Okay? Then you get the Bears, who I would normally say are like a slight breather. But if Ben Johnson is as good as advertised as a head coach, they're going to be a pain to deal with.
They also have a horrible history of playing there. It's not
right, the Mike Glennon game. Yeah, they have a lot of weird stuff happens.
They lost to Cutler there.
Sure. But I'm not even going to put them in as a team where it would be like this stunning Steelers loss. They have the number one pick from last year with a way better offensive mind, you know, calling the plays.
Yep.
The Bills at home. No cakewalk. The Ravens on the road. I don't even think I need to explain that. Dolphins at home feels like a respite. That might be another team that jockeys for worst in the league. At Detroit, at Cleveland, where weird things happen to them, home to the Ravens. Find me 4 wins there if, like, most of those teams are as advertised.
And yet you still have the Steelers. Your official prediction today is 10-7 and in the playoffs again.
Well, I am going to give them the following of those. At Cleveland, I do think they'll beat Miami. I think they probably you take at Chargers, at Bears, I would even say at Lions. I think they find a way to win one of those, so that's 3 wins I'm giving them. I think they'll beat the Colts, that's 4. Beat the Browns again, 5. Yeah, I probably got to find one extra win on there, but I think they could start the season.
I'm also a little surprised that you think they're going to sweep the Browns given the fact that they've lost to them in Cleveland to horse manure teams lately, including last year when they lost to Jameis Winston and had
that
game
in the bag.
Well,
I do think Rodgers is going to be a little bit better than Wilson. I think much of my 10-7 and still losing the wild card is things will wash out somewhat similarly. They're probably going to win a game or two that we don't think they're going to win or that feel like negative side coin flips, like 45-55 games, and that'll get them in. I just think the rest of the AFC is going to be just as strong as everyone anticipates it to be, and they will look hopelessly outmatched when the time comes for a playoff game.
Football Talk on the Fan is presented by Paramount Plus. You can't count on much these days, but you can always count on Sundays with the NFL on CBS and Paramount Plus. Watch your local NFL game live every Sunday on CBS and Paramount Plus all season long. Visit ParamountPlus.com/NFL to get started today. I think pretty fairly or plainly obvious what we're going to get as far as games locally, week 1 of the NFL season. I was looking at this today. So we'll get Cowboys and Eagles Thursday night. YouTube is going to air the game in Brazil, not YouTube TV. You just go to YouTube Friday night, not this Friday, but the next Friday, and you're going to get Chiefs Chargers. So that is a free game on YouTube. And then that first Sunday, we'll get Steelers Jets on Channel 2.
Okay.
We'll get Lions and Packers as the second CBS game that day. It's an NFC game on CBS. So Nance and Romo will go to Lambeau.
Kind of dig that.
To call that game. We'll get Ian Eagle and, get this, J.J. Watt doing Steelers-Jets. And then the question will be, what is the other game we get that day? It'll be a Fox game at 4 o'clock, and here are the two games they're picking from. Titans-Broncos. Or 49ers Seahawks. And I would think off the top of my head that we would get 49ers Seahawks because the Steelers play the Seahawks the next week.
Is that a judgment that they typically would make for which market gets what? Is if you're going to see the team?
I mean, when it's kind of random games like that,
well, I thought
Titans,
maybe,
Broncos, 49ers Seahawks.
I thought maybe that one would be cleaved up pretty odd or obvious geographical terms. I know they don't do it just straight up like that.
Well, what's
Denver,
the geographical?
I mean, Pittsburgh is a lot closer to either Denver. Is it, what, in Denver or in?
It's in Denver.
Still, Pittsburgh closer to Denver than it is either the
other
two
places. Oh, I thought
you
were going to say the only argument I would make for Titans-Broncos is that that's an AFC game.
Well, it's AFC. It's also the number one overall pick.
But no one cares about Cam Ward. There's no buzz at all for him, man.
Does anybody care that much about the Seahawks or this depleted version of the Niners? Because they're all, got 8 million injuries as usual.
No, but I would watch, when the Steelers game ended Sunday, next Sunday, I would watch 49ers Seahawks just to see what the Seahawks looked like for that Steelers game for sure.
Oddly enough.
That's your next opponent. If they played them like 3 weeks later, I wouldn't care as much. But because it's their very next game,
I understand it. From
I'd like to see what
scout,
Seattle looks like.
Scout the enemy perspective. I'd almost be just more interested in seeing the Broncos. Like, because the Broncos strike me as one of those extra teams. If you're trying to think about the Steelers not winning the division, who are they going to be jockeying with for wild card spots? Denver's absolutely in that picture again this year.
Unless you're like Joe Starkey, who thinks that the Broncos are going to win the AFC West and go to the
case,
Super Bowl.
Congratulations, the Chiefs are automatically going to get one of those spots.
Well, I don't think Joe has a reputation for making crappy predictions, does he? Although he is still sitting on that Pirates to win the World Series next year ticket. Or 2 years from now, 22.
2 years from now, brother. He might be right about Jackson Dart. He's got a chance. He's got a puncher's chance there.
Well, that's if you put stock in preseason games, which I'm trying not to do after the Kenny Pickett debacle.
No,
I turned over a new leaf.
No, you didn't, because after one preseason game, you said, you know, guys, I don't think it will happen, but there is a chance Mason Rudolph is better than Aaron Rodgers, and then Rudolph went in the toilet the next two.
Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. We're joined by Pittsburgh sports broadcasting icon. From the Pump and Joe Show, Channel 2, and the preseason voice of the Steelers. I'm going to add one more to that description. The host of the Pitt pregame show for us, 9 a.m. Saturday, he'll be out there for Pitt Duquesne. And what happens in that spot for you, Pomp? Because isn't Lisa Pompiani a proud Duquesne alum?
Oh, yes, she is. She's not happy with the point spread right now here, boys. She thinks that's ridiculous. I said, well,
37.
They do that. That's a lot.
Well, then she's got to pounce on that number for Duquesne. Put up your Dukes plus 37.5.
I told her. I said that's one good thing about points. You don't have to win the game, but you can win the bet. If you're inclined to do it, do it. So she might do it because of her allegiance to Duquesne.
Bob, are you going to spend a lot of time talking about Duquesne running back Trey Butts? Or no, Taj Butts in this game. I'm sorry.
Narduzzi said look out for Butts. He really did.
Yeah, Narduzzi was warning people about Butts. He said they've got a back named Butts.
Well, you know how these coaches operate. I mean, you got to go into these press conferences and say what you got to say. And, you know, I give a lot of – Jerry Schmidt's done a heck of a job over there year in and year out. They do really good things over there in the recruiting and also competing. But, you know, This is one of those games that if you're Pitt, you better come out and win big because I think that's what they have to do in this situation. They need to get their games, you know, first 3 weeks, get it all together, although the West Virginia game is always interesting. But, you know, it's good to get football off, especially knowing that it's all this other stuff going on, the Rib Fest. There are so many good games on Saturday. It's crazy.
Was there a human being on planet Earth, Bob, who loved the Rib Fest more than Edmund Nelson?
No, Edmund Nelson devoured the ribs. I mean, when watching him eat ribs made me hungry to get some because the way he did it, it was almost just a relationship sort of thing going on between the rib and Edmund.
Now, the graphic that was shown during a preseason game, was that real? Did somebody get fired or punished for that, Bob? What's the backstory there?
That wasn't real, no. Somebody did that.
It looked real.
They can do a lot with Photoshop there.
Yeah,
Donnie, for those who don't remember, what did that graphic say?
It was like halftime report, Edmund has sex with rack of ribs.
That's a pretty accurate description, actually.
Bob, was he a classic, like, smoky, I guess I'll call it like the dark reddish burgundy barbecue sauce, or did he like to go for the Carolina mustard kind of sauce? Did he have a favorite particular region?
He mixed them together. It was all sorts of different spices and tastes together.
That's a veteran move.
But, you know, I give Edmund a lot of credit. He enjoyed food, and we all should. And the way he enjoyed it was better than most.
Bob, what is your official Steelers record prediction for 2025?
Well, I've said from the beginning, and I'm not going to change, I think 10-7 is what they probably will be. I think it's good enough to get into the playoffs, and then what they do in there as a wild card team, we'll see. I mean, that's what has to change, and I think they know that. Everyone knows that with all these years that have gone by. But, you know, it's to me, it's incumbent upon their start. They have a lot of games where they're going to be favored or at least should win, and they got to take care of it. And it was, you know, when you look at last year, 10-3, I think it was, before they, you know, went into the meat of their schedule. It's sort of similar this year with all these teams. There are some really good teams in there, and there are really some potential surprise teams. Chicago could be one of them. They have a really good nucleus of players, and they've been, you know, improved in, you know, in the trenches. That won't be easy. There are a lot of games that, you know, Miami, I don't know what to make of Miami. Sometimes
I think they're going
to
be bad.
I agree with Chris.
I think they're going to be bad. Here are a handful of games, Bob, that I think are like the kind of swing games you're talking about for them. Ready? At New England week 3, home against the Vikings week, or not home, but in Ireland against the Vikings week 4. I think home against Green Bay in week 8 is a swing game. I think at the Chargers is another swing game. And I think probably that Bears game too. I think, what did I just give you? 5 games, I think, that are going to go a long way towards determining how this season goes for them.
Yeah, because I still think, Chris, they're going to go into their division. They have a way of winning games against both Baltimore and Cincinnati. You know, not that I expect them to go and sweep any of them, but, you know, they'll figure out a way. They know how to do that. But that's dangerous also, because I think if Cincinnati comes out playing well, unlike their last 2 years, you know, they get some momentum going. That's an offense you don't want to deal with, you know, in games that matter in terms of division tiebreakers. But to me, it's still Baltimore. That I look at Baltimore as the team that I think will eventually win that division and will be a favorite in the AFC altogether. I like their team a lot. But I think the Steelers can, you know, depending on Aaron Rodgers, we all know that, early on, if he gets some success and gets it going, I mean, it'll generate some excitement. And then the second half of the season will come, and that'll be the test.
So do you think this is the year they end the playoff win drought then, Bob?
I guess it would depend on the matchup, but yeah, I hope so. Just so it ends. And if it does, you know, they're in an interesting situation, because if they play well and if Aaron Rodgers plays well, he's left the door open now all of a sudden to be back here.
So in your scenario, what do you think would happen? If they go 10-7 and win in the wild card round, do you think Aaron Rodgers is back here in 2026?
Yes. I would have to say yes on that. Would you?
Yep. I tend to agree. Yeah, I think,
I do think he and Mike would be like, well, it worked. Why not run it back? If he feels good at the end of the season.
And it takes the pressure off whoever their first-round pick would be, right? I mean, you don't have to rush into it. Although I still think you have some talent that I want to see.
I agree.
I know,
Bob.
You took a sigh right there.
No, I agree with you, Bob.
Trust me, Bob. I wasn't trying to hide it. I wasn't.
I'm on Bob's side here.
No,
well, Bob, I just want to see. I just think there's a lot of talent there, and what he's gone through, in the games he's played, and big time games. I just think the guy has some potential, and I want to see if it. It's too bad we never got that shot this year.
Bob, let's go through the college teams here. The Pitt over under here at the Rivers Casino Sportsbook is 6.5 wins in 2025. Do you go over or under that, and why?
That's a good number. After what happened last year, and I have my doubts about certain things, but I would go over. I think it's, you know, they should be able to do well early in the season. I don't think their schedule is all that difficult, to be honest. I think they should navigate through there with wins. I'm looking at 8 wins, 4 losses for them.
How about Penn State over under is 10.5?
Over. I think they're good.
That very fast. I guess you believe in James Franklin. I didn't know that. Okay.
I believe that they're a team that is going to do what they normally do. They're going to win every game they're supposed to win, and this is the year that, yeah, they go and slay that Ohio State Dragon.
Are you picking them to win the national championship?
No, that's so far down the road, Pony. I don't know. I mean, the matchups matter. They took a step last year. They have to take a step. I would be somewhat disappointed if I'm a Penn State fan if they don't make it to the final game, but there are so many good teams. I mean, this week, Texas, Ohio State, you'll learn a lot about both.
And you've got Penn State playing Nevada, Bob, on Channel 2. They're going to send poor Gary Danielson and and Brad Nessler. They got to go sit in State College for 4 hours to watch Penn State beat the pee out of Nevada. Come on.
Yeah,
what is that all about?
What does the Rivers say the spread on
44
that?
44 and a
40?
Half.
44 and a half, Bob. It could be the best team on paper versus the worst.
I would take the points. I don't think Penn State gets off to these big starts.
Oh, I disagree, Bob. Bob, I think Franklin loves trying to win these games 70-0.
I'm with Chris.
Bob, I have something else for you, too.
Go ahead.
It's from Brian. He tweeted this in. This is for you, too, Pony. Brian saying, I used to work at Williams Country Club in Weirton. I'm sure you know that course, Bob, where Edmund Nelson frequented. I once saw him eat a 64-ounce steak, three sides, and two desserts. It's the most impressive eating feat I've ever seen.
Well,
does that track?
It backs up my description. I played golf down there with Edmund, and he loves golf. And he gets out there all the time. He's living his best life right now, but that's part of his best life.
A 64-ounce steak? That's 5 pounds a cow. Mm.
That is.
No, 4 pounds
a
cow. Sorry, four pounds.
I cut it off. I can go 8, and that's about it. I don't try to do any more than that. So, I mean, he'll do it in record time, too, from what I remember.
Oh, my God. How about this message we just got in? Jim wants to know from Bob, do you agree with Keegan Bradley not picking himself for the Ryder Cup? This is going to take 5 minutes for Bob to answer this question.
No, I think he's got
no, I think it's great. Chris
here.
Likes this question. Come on, Pony. Divulge here a little bit. Like, I think that's a very unselfish move by Keegan Bradley. He deserves it, but I also know he has a role. I think he really likes Ben Griffin, who I never thought would be on this thing at the beginning of the season. Now he is. I appreciate he went with DeChambeau. The one guy I would have not had on is Colin Morikawa, and I would
yes,
have put
sir,
myself
Bob.
Team,
yes, sir.
I would put Keegan on it, but I understand what he's doing, and I think it's good for their overall team, you know, chemistry.
Well, Bob, I think that this has a very good chance to go down in history as one of the all-time, like, unselfish great sports decisions, at least in the golf world.
Wow.
I have a feeling that might tilt the balance for me, where Team USA, I think, would have lost had he picked himself. And now those guys are going to be ready to run through a brick wall for him because
exactly.
He could have picked himself and didn't. He had a reputation for being a little bit standoffish because of how he treated the tour, and he kind of treated it like a real sport, and these guys are my enemy. And I think he made a lot of friends and has these guys ready to go now because of this. I think it's a great move.
There's no question, I do. And the other thing is, if he would have taken himself and he was one of the reasons they lost, the scrutiny would come from all over. Right.
The fact that he also – Bob, the fact that he said he had made the decision a while ago and that he wasn't even – it sounds like if you take him at his word, he wasn't going to let whatever results happen late in the season impact that decision. That just tells me he really had his head screwed on straight here.
Yeah, and he's had a hell of a year, too. I mean, he could have very easily justified that pick, but I think all things considered, that's the right move, and I think he trusts Ben Griffin. We've watched him all year. That guy is – he's ready for this. And I don't know if he's going to get prime roles in this, but he should be somebody who could produce some points for them.
Bob, we get nerdy about sports on TV just like you do. So before we brought you on, we were trying to figure out what games we're going to get in Pittsburgh week one. So we concluded, hey, it's obvious you guys will have the Steelers and Jets at 1 o'clock on Channel 2. The
I'm
night
surprised
game
by
is...
that, too. This schedule came out before the Aaron Rodgers. I think they should have assumed that. I thought it would be a night game. I thought it would be a primetime game of some
425
sort.
425 is Lions-Packers on Channel 2. It's a doubleheader day, so Nance and Romo will be at Lambeau. The night game is Bills-Ravens, which is going to be probably a great one. The 405 game on Fox, we were trying to figure out. Do you think it's more likely Pittsburgh gets Titans-Broncos or 49ers-Seahawks?
I would say Titans-Broncos.
What's the main reason you think that they would give
because
Pittsburgh that game?
I just think, I know a lot of people over there in CBS are bullish on Denver this year. A lot of friends I know who work up there believe that Bo Nix is going to lead them to big, so I think, I don't know.
The Steelers play
reaction.
The Seahawks the next week, so do you think that would factor into it?
You think it would, but it might, it should, but we'll see. I just have a feeling they don't look that way. They don't look ahead and say, oh, this is the next team they're playing. They pick a game they think. And they're, even though we haven't talked at all about Tennessee's number one overall pick, I don't know about you guys, but it's like no one's talked about him.
I said the exact thing to Chris. Chris said, well, maybe they'll put that game on because of Ward. I said, no one cares about Ward. He's an afterthought. There's no buzz. There's more buzz for a fifth-round pick.
That's probably good for him because Cam Ward can go and just play. And, if there's no buzz, that means expectations early on won't be that good.
Here's another idea that got floated out there. Do you think that we would get Bengals-Browns 1 o'clock on Fox? Would they put another game on locally against the Steelers-Jets? Don't they try to avoid that, Bob?
They do, but I wouldn't be surprised if they did it anyway.
Huh.
Yeah, but normally they don't do that kind of stuff. But I have a feeling they might do it. That's a game that, it's the Browns and Bengals. Battle of Ohio. Who knows?
Yeah. But it's also at the same time of the game everybody will be watching, including you, because you'll have postgame for that one on the Extra Point Show with Chris.
We will have postgame, Chris.
Thank you.
We're looking forward to that, guys. How's everything down at the Rivers Casino?
Well, you should see the people lining up to bet Duquesne after hearing that Lisa's so excited about them in this matchup. The betting
window
is jam-packed
at that betting window for sure. Yeah,
it is always jam-packed here. Yeah, it's rocking.
I'm telling you, points are big early on. I take points. I don't think there are going to be a lot of blowouts to the degree that these lines suggest.
Bob, call a national champion in college football right now before we let you go.
Holy cow. He hates predictions like that.
Call your shot.
He's going to give us 10 teams.
One team.
I would give you 10 teams. That's kind of a crazy question at this point, but if I have to pick one team, I'm going to say Penn State. I'm bullish on Penn State. I think this could be the year they put it all together. They have everything they need, and I know James Franklin has that to get over because he's not been very good against some of these top-ranked teams, but this could be the year for them. The talent is significant, and so I'll go with Penn State.
All right, Bob. We'll talk next week. Thank you.
All right, guys. You guys have a wonderful day.
Man.
Penn State. Was that Austin Bechtold speaking for Bob?
Did he have a knife pressed to his back as he said it?
What Bob didn't tell us was he was trying to blink twice for help.
I'll tell you, whenever Austin says something, the YouTube page goes crazy.
They don't like him, but
they have opinions on him. That's not bad.
I mean, it's a pretty uniform
opinion. He elicits a strong reaction from people
strong,
on there.
Not positive, however.
Well, he also, I think, took shots at Pitt. Because he made the comment earlier in the week that the line against Duquesne was only going to be like 20. Trying to make it sound
First comment, Pitt immediately, limits, as soon as we mention him.
You know, tried to make it sound like Pitt really shouldn't be a big favorite against Duquesne. Like, oh, little Pitt, they'll only be, they're playing an FCS team, but they might lose. They make it like a 20-point line. And then tried to say when the line was at 37, oh, the odds makers moved it 17
points. Ah, yes, the classic 16-point odds movement.
Did you hear him say that, Don?
Yeah. He said, oh, it's a two-touchdown line move.
He said it opened at 20 and moved to 37. I mean,
That's the biggest movement of all time.
I don't think a line's ever moved that much in my life.
I mean, unless Duquesne's entire team came down with a bubonic plague.
How much did the line move? Hold on. How much did the line move when it became obvious to people that the Broncos are going to have to start wide receiver Kendall Hinton?
Now that was like a 10-point move.
But it's still not 16 points. They could find out that they're starting Andrew Filippone at quarterback and it wouldn't move the line that much.
Yeah. How about that? Oh, it just moved 17 points. Get out of here.
I think that was a situation where Joe put him on the spot. He just threw out a completely random number.
Jory Rance Taint says there are no limits to the disdain we have in the chat for Austin.
And the Taint Man's a very big fan of us.
I know. The Taint Man. It is time for the Donnie Football Debrief. Brought to you by Saloni's Italian Bread Company, over 100 years of baking experience. It's Donnie's biggest football topic of the day. What do you got for us, Don?
The Debrief, August 28, 2025. I do want to get to the college football slate. We all know what the biggest game of the weekend is, but we can dive into some of the others. Yes, of course. At noon, you can listen to the game right here on 93.7 The Fan.
And you'll be there.
Something else. Yes, I will. Something else.
Sorry, one more interruption, Donnie, before you like fly off the handle at us. And to be clear, you'll be wearing a Pitt shirt with a Duquesne shirt on underneath or vice versa?
I'm still working on what I want to go with there.
I think you should just wear a shirt that just has the NCAA logo in blue like Rob Lowe. Just wear a shirt that says NCAA.
Oh, if I got my hands on one of those before Saturday, I would do it.
What do you got?
But if you also were just listening to the station a few minutes ago, you caught this doozy from our guy Steve Wilson, who I will say is not a Pittsburgh native, but he was telling the folks at home some of the best number 10s in Steelers history.
And the countdown is on. Only 10 days until Pittsburgh faces New York. And here's some of your favorite number 10s. Cordell Stewart, San Antonio Holmes, Martavius Bryant.
Oh, man, I didn't realize we had a doubleheader there. Martavius?
We were all laughing so hard at San Antonio Holmes that we missed Martavius Bryant.
I'm not going to defend him, but I think there are some Steelers fans that still butcher Martavius Bryant
they
and make
do.
It Martavius. I've even heard Steelers players do it. The San Antonio, like, you see it. Why would you think the guy says it? pronounces his name San Antonio.
Here's what I can't understand. The actual city San Antonio, S-A-N, space, capital A, his name has none of that. It's Santonio. I'm surprised people don't call him San... I'm trying to think of how you pronounce Santa. San Anta.
He should have done like a Western effect on it and said, Yeehaw! San Antonio
home! Some guns in the background. Pow, 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 pow.
Man, he's really... Between the person that wrote these and some of his pronunciations, good Lord on this.
I've been hit with a Mueller today already, so...
By Dick LeBeau, though, so you got
a legend.
You got to take it.
A legend.
You got to accept that one. We had Rocky Blyer wrong number.
Straight booze.
We had just Artie Burns in there.
Artie Burns snuck in there. I still think yesterday's 11s.
Artie Burns.
Yesterday's 11s. The corpse of Allen Robinson. Chase Claypool, who everyone hated by the second he was traded. And then Marcus Wheaton, who, man, no offense to Marcus Wheaton. When you think of just a guy... Just a regular, bog-standard NFL player. I think Marcus Wheaton's the kind of guy you dream up.
He also made Kent Graham in there.
He also made Allen Robinson sound like he was royalty. Allen Robinson the second.
That's technically his name, yeah. But Sir Allen Robinson the second, knighted.
Yeah.
Stephon Logan.
All right, Don. What else you got for us? Anything?
I did want to look a little bit at the college football slate a little bit more because people are pumped up. A whole bunch of games tonight. I mean, there's not like a huge game tonight. I think people are just excited that we're back into a lot of college football. Boise State and South Florida, that gets underway.
They're going to kick off in a little bit here.
Yeah, 45 minutes, 5:30 kick on ESPN. That's the only ranked team in action, Boise State.
Central Washington and Colorado Mesa are currently doing battle in Division II football, Don. They've already gotten things started.
Fake John and Robinson probably has that on his TV.
Donnie, I'm looking at something. Reddit has like a college football updating scoreboard that they are like, it's beta testing. I'm looking at this thing right now. Honestly, if you were trying to follow games and check out what you wanted to watch, I feel like you'd be a hog and slop for this website.
You know what I really want to have one day, just as an aside here, like in a future man cave? I really want to have a ticker that just goes across my ceiling.
I kind of knew you were going to say that, like a Vegas casino type of deal.
I've seen that.
Oh, man. What a thing that would be. I'm sure that's easy to pull off. There's got to be software that would just connect to it, right?
Yeah, I don't really know how it works, but it would be.
You probably
got to
pay a monthly fee or something for the scores to update.
Yeah, but I think like what Pony said, either there's a monthly fee and a service that says, here, buy this, and then it's a subscription thing. Oh, dude, that would be outstanding.
What do you think the line is for West Virginia Robert Morris on Saturday at 2 o'clock?
Oh.
The Colonials head down to Morgantown to take on the Crowleys.
28.5.
No, it's bigger than that, I think.
38.5?
I would say it's in in that 34 to 37 range.
Donnie got it right the second time, 38.5.
I mean.
You taking the Colonials there?
I don't know anything about him. The guy that had that crazy interception in the first game last year transferred to a bigger program.
The play of the year and
That spinning one-handed interception.
Spinning one-handed thing that looked like it defied physics.
The 2024 Robert Morris football team went 7-5.
I mean,
so that's not bad there.
No, but that makes them even mid-tier. Like FCS team like that against even a bad, and West Virginia is probably going to be bad this year, West Virginia team. That still should be West Virginia just clobbering them.
The Dukes last year went 8-3 and 5-1 in conference.
Donnie, I told you.
Two of their losses were to FBS teams. They lost to Toledo 49-10. They lost to BC 56-0. Good God.
Who did Duquesne beat a couple years ago in FBS as an FCS team? Did they beat Man, it wasn't like Ohio, was it? Duquesne beat somebody in FBS.
They lost to West Virginia and Coastal in 2023.
They have a win over somebody.
In 2022, they lost to Florida State and Hawaii.
Yeah.
They played your boys Thomas Moore, Donnie, that year and beat him 34-14.
Oh, no.
Good.
Throw out the record books.
They beat Ohio on the road.
Okay. Wow. The old Muzzy brain actually
28-26. They played TCU the previous week and lost 45-3. So.
Now, here's a game we should all have our eyes on Saturday night, that LSU-Clemson game.
the two quarterbacks
in the game.
I mean, Nussmeier.
The Tigers versus the Tigers in Death Valley. It's very clever of me. I think Clemson's going to win that game. I think they're, weirdly enough, I don't know
Man,
if they're
you've been
actually,
talking a lot of Clemson football.
I know, but
show.
I don't know if they're getting talked up enough as because it's like okay, Penn State is. I know that they're ranked very highly, but Penn State seems to be the this
getting
is the
talked
year,
up enough. They're a top 10 team to start
Tony,
the year, Malzie.
Wait. Penn State is getting talked about the most, I feel like, because of
Yes, we're in Pittsburgh.
No. I'm saying nationally, even. There's Arch Manning in Texas getting a ton of run and burn. Ohio State for general principles. Penn State because they added even more in the portal, and it's like, is this finally the year? I know that Clemson is still getting plenty of hype because they are a top five, top 10, if not top five team. But they feel just like what you said about Cam Ward. Everyone knows they're going to be good in this particular case, but no one really is spending a ton of oxygen on them. That's all. I thought, Donnie, you were going to say we should be keeping close tabs on Central Michigan, San Jose State, because that's Pitt's next opponent.
Well, what is the excitement level on the game Monday night, that North Carolina debut of Bill Belichick?
More curiosity than excitement
for
me.
Yeah, it's like a 7 out of 10 for me.
It's like this is going to be surreal to see him wearing Jordan brand powder blue.
His man boobs shaking as he goes out there.
He's going to have a cutoff hoodie or something goofy on. And you know what you're going to find out really quickly here is how good of a job did Michael Lombardi do assembling a roster for him?
Yep. Remember what a good job he did as our guest a couple weeks ago?
Oh, what an electric factory that was.